We're doing it to go shalom on the parsha. At the end of our parsha, we have the mitzvah of tzitzit, and at the end of the mitzvah tzitzit, it says, don't go after your hearts. You'll see the tzitzit as you wear the garment over your clothing, the way we all should. We don't, but we should. And you'll remember all of Hashem's mitzvot, you will observe them, and you will not be misguided after your hearts and eyes. Darshu Chazal, our sages in Tractate Brachos commented, don't go after your hearts, zominut. That's the beliefs which apostates take hold of. And that's the thought of the one who removes the yoke of heaven. He says, there is no heaven, Hashem isn't paying attention. And then the Torah says, don't go after your eyes. That's where our eyes are lured and seduced to sin. So that's what it says, don't go after your eyes. So it says, don't go after your hearts, don't go after your eyes. Yes? Okay. And that's what Maimonides writes. That even if a person contemplates, maybe I'll go the pagan route, that's already the prohibition. Don't go after your hearts. The heart is lured to that path, and that's that prohibition. Regarding this, the commandment says, be warned, lest your heart is seduced. And then you will veer off the path and worship pagan gods. The Torah is warning us that within our hearts there is the inclination to ponder going a different path. And that's the Torah's warning. Recognize that you're going to be tempted to ponder leaving Judaism, and pondering it is this prohibition. You have to reach a point where you've reached a conclusion and you're not pondering leaving. Okay, we could stop here. That's enough to think about for a year. Okay? And even though this is not a prohibition that involves action, so that no one can get actively punished for it, nonetheless, it is a prohibition. And later on, the Rambam writes, it's not only after paganism that we are prohibited from thinking about it. Anytime a person is thinking of a direction which will uproot the fundamentals of Torah, so there the Torah warns, don't contemplate that. And we shouldn't be drawn after our heart's murmurs. You realize that built into this Rambam is great insight to the human condition. We discussed in the Chazon Ish the idea that a person can stand and daven Shmona Esrei and walk away from Ne'ilah, and somewhere deep down inside he's wondering, was there a point to all that? So we connect, and then we have philosophical challenges. And the question is, can I connect to a point? I'm supposed to connect to a point where I can say, that's not something for me to ponder. I've worked it out, this is the direction, and now I'm not pondering a different route. But to keep pondering a different route is destructive. And that's what the Torah warns. Remember, our sages said you could. We had a high priest who served 80 years in the high priesthood, and then he left. So this is a challenge. We discussed this in our Emunah class, that when you start out, you have to work out the system. You begin by asking questions, and you learn answers. You have to reach a point where you're not asking a question every morning. But you have to reach that point. You have to build to that point. A person can't wake up in the morning and say, should I put on tefillin? Is there a God? Shema Yisrael Hashem. Can I say Elokeinu? Am I pondering it, or can I make it as a declaration? So I have to work out my emunah. I have to build my system to the point where I'm not rethinking it every morning. It's a declaration. It's an affirmation. It's not a contemplation. If a person reaches Shema and he's deliberating, do I or don't I? Is there a God or isn't there a God? Well, you got to work that out to the point where you're not. The commandment is obviously only after you've worked it out. You can't, obviously, you have to think things through. You have to build your emunah, build your understanding. But then once you've built it, you have to reach a point where this isn't a constant a heart murmur. Yes?
Not constant, but isn't it normal, especially for people who came for Balsuva again, when there was evidence that rang true to them and they made the move, aren't there always some sort of test? New evidence sounds right. Maybe I don't understand why I should be spending hours doing X, Y, Z, but on some level it rings true. But what I'm trying to say is, as long as it doesn't steer you off, is it okay to have doubts?
I think we have to work out and reach a point where we're not contemplating it. I think that's exactly what the Rambam's saying. No. You have to reach a point where things are clear, and if things are not going to be clear, then you won't always have answers. That's the challenge here. Meaning,
God forbid we never tested that way, but as we know, the Kohen Gadol, no lightweights, you know, the people who were tested, just in the show, people who were tested. I'm not saying, you know, it doesn't have to be a show. It's one kid and it's yours, that's enough. But I'm just, you know, to automatically say, you know, if I have doubts, I'm completely off the derech and stuff. I don't think that doesn't sound healthy. At times, you know, as long as it doesn't change your basic definition of who you are and what your purpose is here, and okay, yesterday I was more sure, tomorrow I'll be more sure again. Today I'm a little fragile.
Yeah. We all have ups and downs.
It fluctuates.
We have ups and downs, but we have to try to work it out to the point where our basics are, we've worked them out, and we have to learn the answers. It has to make sense. You have to build your system. I didn't say take it on blind faith, but build, understand, and reach a point where that's not shakable and where you're not doubting it all the time. I agree that there's always that plaguing, there's room for that plaguing doubt, or the mashal I often say, if you climb a mountain, you reach the place where two mountains meet, and there's a little gap, you could stick your foot in and say, I'm stuck, I can't make it over, there's a hole here. Or you could say, that's very crossable. When you build your emunah, you have to reach a point where you say, it's so clear, it's a footstep away, and it's a logical footstep away. Can you reach a point where it's solid to the point that there's no footstep? I think we see from the commentaries that there's always going to be that chasm where you could stick your foot in and say, I'm stuck. But you have to reach a point where it's so logical not to say that, that you don't have to re-question everything you've built. And the danger, the flip side, we don't need reasons. The mitzvah, the way the Rambam said, is a mitzvah. I'm not, without giving excuses for the mitzvah. We have a mitzvah, fine, we got it. But aside from that, we should recognize that there is a danger the other way. And the danger is twofold. I'm just not sure if I should give the long answer or the short answer. The danger is firstly, that our sages said that even a very, very smart person doesn't always know all the answers. A person will find himself where, right now he doesn't know what the answer to that challenge is. That doesn't mean that in a year or in a month or in a day or in an hour he won't know the answer. When a person is constantly questioning, so if I verified that 1 + 1 = 2, do I always have to question whether 1 + 1 = 2? What about with this angle and that angle and the third angle? There will be times that I can prove to you that 1 + 1 + 1 is not 2. We can discuss it at length and philosophize about it, but you know what? If you've worked it out enough that you have the system that works in life, it's not healthy to keep questioning it. It could mess things up. Right. And secondly, there are times in life when things get confused. And especially when there are emotionally trying times. Those are the times when what you've built until now can serve as your rock, as your strength, or you can let your whole life fall apart. I'll tell you what it's similar to. There's the famous story of the two friends, right? Where the king caught one man and he told him, he's going to give him the death penalty. And the man said, but I want to go and depart from my wife and family. You guys know the story? And he said, what collateral will you give me that you'll come back? And he was there with his best friend. And his best friend said, I'll stay as collateral. If he doesn't come back on time, you can kill me. I'm collateral. And I'm telling you, he'll come back on time.
Wow.
So his friend left. And the day came. And he's on death row. So Chaim is sitting there on death row and Shmulek isn't showing up. And the king walks into his cell and he says to him, Chaim, Shmulek isn't showed up. What do you think now? So he says, I think that he's going to show up. So he says, you know, he didn't know if I'd execute you at the crack of dawn or not. The time is now. He's not here. And Chaim says, well, then I am confident that the only reason he's not here is because of circumstances beyond his control. I am sure he took it seriously. And I'm sure I don't regret what I did. I know that he wouldn't have left me here to die on purpose. He did everything he possibly could have, and something else happened. So he says, okay, we're going to wait an hour. He comes in after an hour, and he says, you know, now it's already an hour into the day, and I think you're going to be taken to death row. What do you say now? And Chaim says, I say the same thing. And this goes on hour after hour after hour. As it approaches sunset, and he asks him, you know, now we're going to take you out to the gallows. And he takes him out to the gallows, and he puts the noose around his neck. And he says to him, now what do you say? And he says, I say the same thing. And he's constant in his faith in his friend. And as they're about, they start counting down and they reach 3, 2. And then he stops and he says, what do you say about him now? And he says, same thing. And then Shmuel comes running in. And just before they hang Chaim, and the king obviously questions him, and he's being captured by bandits, and he could get out till he got the ransom, and he finally got out, and he came through great perils, he came so that they wouldn't hang his friend. And the king freed both of them, and he said, I want one thing from you. I want to be your friend. I want to be your friend. I want friendship like that. But do you think Chaim could be so logical at that moment? Now, in marriage, these things happen. In relationships, these things happen. There are moments when you can't think it through. If you're going to stop to think, then you're going to die. Or the relationship is going to die. There are moments when you have to be just so faithful. V'gamarnu. You know, when we had the Machon alumni thing here, so I went to Rav Dani and I said, it's an opportunity. We're going to have thousands of alumni coming, men and women. Some of them are bachelors. Let's set up a database so that we can match them up and help with shiduchim at the alumni event. He said, great idea. Bring me a form. I looked at the form I have, and my form is good for me, but it's not good for a database for 50 different volunteers to fill in the info. So I decided I need a new form. So what did I do? I went to all these online dating sites, and I signed up. Anonymous, I made up a friend, a name, I made up an email address, I made up everything. I wanted to see their form so that we could use it for Machon Meir. After I signed myself up, after about 2 hours, I said to myself, I give my wife free access to my email. What's going to happen? I'm suddenly going to get from all these dating websites that I signed up to. What's she supposed to think, right? But let's ask ourselves, what would happen if you're the spouse and you come online and you see that? Now, what are you supposed to think? I had a similar story where I had a friend who was in a very, very tough circumstance in his life, and I realized that things would explode in his life and that he didn't realize where he was headed. I went and rented a one-room apartment for him. I said, I'm taking the risk. I know in the end he'll need it. And it turned out right. 2 days later, he needed it. A day later, he needed it. But when I signed up for the apartment, I told the woman, you could call me at home and I'll bring you the down payment. I need that apartment set aside for him. And then I said to myself, oh my gosh, I didn't have a cell phone back then. She's going to call home and tell my wife I rented another one-room apartment. What's my wife supposed to think? My husband went and rented a one-room apartment, right? Okay, now, when you're faced with that, what are you going to say? Life leads, sometimes brings us questions, you know. I went to a public payphone. I called my wife right away to tell her what was going on. But there's what happens? And I gave examples which are gentle, you know. These are examples where you still have an opportunity to explain. No one's coming and pushing you. Life forces us sometimes to be challenged, and we have to ask ourselves, am I in him or am I out? And at that moment, if you're going to hesitate, if you're going to blink at that moment, you're finished. There will be moments like that in life. The same is true here. That's the danger. I'm saying, I don't have to give reasons for the Rambam. If that's a mitzvah, that's a mitzvah. Gamarnu. But we have to realize from a practical perspective that we have to build ourselves up to that, because there will be moments in life where if I can hold on to what I have, I'm strong and it gives me strength to deal with life. And if at those moments I'm going to have to try to figure out, do I or don't I, at those moments I won't have the clarity. At those moments my emotions will be in turmoil, life will be in turmoil, and my life can come crashing down like a deck of cards. Meaning that those are the moments where you have to decide, do I or don't I. Okay, we got one more minute. Let's move forward to drop. What? Valinyan says, so this is what the Torah warned. V'kachamu chachamim, achrei levavchem zo minut, v'acheinechem zo znut. Why didn't our sages say the whole pasuk is talking about the contemplations of sin? Our sages said that only after you see does your heart desire. First the eye sees and then the heart desires. So we're out of time. We're in the middle of a thought. And we'll pick up here, Bezrat Hashem, next class after the special class.